Just below Lake Superior, south of Duluth, Minnesota, you'll find the Fond du Lac Chippewa Indian Reservation. The woods and lakes here are home to Jim Northrup. Northrup is a tribal elder. He says having treaty rights makes him who he is.
I mean, a way of life. Every year I use the gifts of the Creator. I spear fish, I make syrup, I use certain plants from the woods. It's done with the idea that I feed my family, just as my grandfather did, and his grandfather before him, and his grandfather going back who knows how long.
About 150 years ago, these lands were rich in white pine timber, copper, and iron ore. Millions of acres were sold to the United States to make way for white settlement. In turn, the Indians kept hunting and fishing rights. Since 1983, these rights have been reaffirmed by several lower federal courts in Wisconsin and Minnesota. But now, those decisions are being challenged by Minnesota. They've petitioned the U.S. Supreme Court to get back control of the natural resources. Mark Strand is an assistant attorney general for the state of Minnesota.
Well, the issue is who manages the natural resources in the 1837 ceded territory? That's the fundamental question. The Indians' claim to having a stake in managing these resources for their own members is a treaty that was signed in 1837, which, when they ceded land to the federal government, they reserved the privilege to hunt, fish, and gather in the territory that they'd given up. The states have argued that whatever rights were established by that 1837 treaty were extinguished by later events.
Strand argues three different events terminated Indian rights. These include Minnesota becoming a state, another treaty with the Mille Lacs tribe, and a presidential order. The Supreme Court is expected to hear initial arguments the first week in December. But now, several Indian runners are running a 1,000-mile relay to Washington, D.C. in time for the Supreme Court hearing. The runners hope their sacrifice influences the nine justices hearing the case. The runners plan about a 16-day journey covering 60 to 70 miles a day. Once they arrive in Washington, they'll light a sacred fire for ceremonies. The ceremonies are designed to help tribal attorneys arguing the case. The run began on Veterans Day in northern Wisconsin. The runners left the Lac du Flambeau Chippewa Reservation, traveling east towards Washington. The route the runners are following retraces a path their ancestors took 150 years ago. In 1849, some Chippewa went to Washington to lobby against a national plan to remove them from Wisconsin. Jim Schlender is a Lakota Ray Chippewa and one of the 10 runners.
The run itself is really a prayer. It's a prayer to the Creator, look down upon the Anishinaabe people, the Chippewa people, the Ojibwe people, and to have Him take pity on us, as our prayers always ask. And hopefully that the Creator may be able to touch the hearts and minds of the nine justices that are going to have a say over the treaty rights case that's been appealed to them.
But a leading American Indian scholar thinks the tribes will have a tough go in Washington with the Supreme Court. Dr. Vine Deloria Jr. is a professor of religious studies at the University of Colorado.
Tribes have always been between the rock and the hard place. Well, I think this is a highly anti-Indian Supreme Court led by Rehnquist and O'Connor and Ginsburg. They're so militantly anti-Indian that the two real conservatives, Scalia and Thomas, are not even figured in. They're just automatic votes.
Two recent cases Indians lost were about religious freedom. According to a University of Connecticut Law Review article, Indian tribes have lost 18 out of the last 20 cases brought before the high court. Meanwhile, the runners are moving towards Washington. They hope to arrive sometime after Thanksgiving. Oral arguments will be heard by the court on December 2nd. A decision is expected by July. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Nick Vanderpine in Eagle River, Wisconsin.